Oi, oi, I'm Jimmy Bullard, and this is me old muck of Fenners. We're back together, son, how are ya?
Hey, Bully, great to be back working with you. Well, what are we doing here, though?
We're starting a football club in podcast form. The only thing we know, it's called FC Bullard. After that, it's all up for grabs.
So, we haven't got any players, we haven't got kids, we haven't got a club badge, we haven't got a stadium.
Correct. FC Bullard. Welcome to the club.
This is a crowd podcast.
This episode is sponsored by Peer Pressure, Kate Pierce. To be more like Kate, go to patreon.com/Joe Marler Show and become an official sponsor today.
If you're feeling low, the Joe Marler Show will give you things to talk about. If you're feeling down, then the Bearded Clown will give you things to talk about.
Hello and welcome to our show. I'm Joe, bracket Marler, unbracket, just another bracket. And this is Tom, open bracket. Yes,
that's the phrase.
Four dice, closed bracket, full stop. How are you, Tom?
Joe, I'm all the better for seeing you, but I understand there's been some domestic discord in the Marler house.
Don't know what that means, but there has been stuff going on in my house, yes.
Tell me.
You got two young boys, haven't you?
Mm-hmm.
What's their vocabulary, Rulo?
What, better than yours.
What's their vocab like?
It's not bad.
Okay, you being a writer in yourself, you obviously passed on some sort of talent to them. They know words and they use words really well, do they?
Yeah, they're at that age, Joe, where when they want to swear, they know they can't swear, so they use words that they think are swear words but actually aren't swear words. Like, they'll say, bog off, and they'll, if they're really fucking fuming, they'll say, you git.
You git? Yeah. Oh, that's bad.
Yeah.
That's a bad one.
He called me a git. Not bothered.
My lot, like, they've watched this programme called Little Lunch or something. It's about a kid's school. It's like our... Your Grange Hill and my Tracy Beaker.
Biker Grove.
Was I Biker Grove or you Biker Grove?
It's probably both, actually, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Biker.
Grove.
Biker Grove. Yeah. Anyway, they use minkle.
Minkle?
So minkle is the swear word on there. They go, oh, he said minkle, miss, and all this lot. And I was like, okay, well, that actually does sound like a reasonable swear word.
You wouldn't want to Google minkle, would you?
Well, actually, if you do, you get ironing boards come up. It's a type of ironing board.
I like the fact you've tried it.
Maybe it's minky or minkle.
Ooh, yeah.
One of them. Anyway, so that's fine. And they say the odd swear word occasionally. In fact, it's my fucking fault. Of course it is. I've got these colouring books, adult colouring books, and it's not people of having sex or anything. It's just adult swear words.
Hang on, you're just colouring in words?
Yeah, and patterns and stuff. Why is that funny?
It's a bit boring colouring in words, isn't it? Like, are you saying that it's you colour in words like fuck?
Yeah, so like, there'll be fuck nuggets.
And that's more fun.
And in the background, there's like loads of different flowers and stuff.
Okay.
And colour them in, different patterns. Mm. I might actually start selling them on the joemarler.co.uk thing.
Mm.
Shop. Is it a shop? Yeah, whatever.
Virtually, yeah.
And this one night I was colouring, the kids stayed up, and for some reason I was colouring one of those books, and Jess was like, what's that say? I was like, no, you can't say that. And then I went, oh, sod it. Right, for one night only, mate, you can say these words as loud as you can, as loud as you want. And at the top of his voice, he was like, fuck nuggets! And I was like, oh, no, I'm going to get it done. So that was just fine, and he knows not to swear and stuff like that. It's fine. But the other night at dinner, we'd put Felix and Pixie down. So we had Maggie and Jasper up. And we'd treat ourselves to a takeaway. So we're sitting there gorging ourselves on prawn crackers from this Chinese takeaway. And Jasper turns around to Daisy and goes, are you five? And we were like, what? Are you five? Daisy's like, what are you on about? He's like, are you five? And she went, no, I'm not five. He went, oh, I am. I'm 5 inches deep in your mama.
What?
And we were like, what the fucking fuckity fuck? Fuck. And it was that moment, me and Daisy look at each other straight away, and you're going, we're so desperate to laugh, But in equal measures, we're like, I need to not laugh, and I actually need to be like, whoa, whoa, whoa there, Jed. Because A, where have you got that from? And B, do you know what it means? And C, don't fucking say that again. So A, he got it from YouTube. B, he doesn't know what it means. And C, he's never going to say it again. I was like, what do you, if you don't know what something means, mate, don't say it. But so then we put him to bed after all that lot, but they had a good old night. And then me and Deja sat down there and we're like, what have we done? And she's like, what do you mean, what have we done? It's clearly you that's the issue in all of this. But I was just blown away, mate. So I wanted to share that with you and the listeners, yeah, and ask, have you had anything similar? There's one thing, your kids starting to pick up on swear words. There's another thing, kids going, because I'm 5 inches deep in your mama, in an accent. He did the accent as well.
I mean, the irony is you could almost legitimately have said that to him.
I think we need to get our guest on. I'm not happy now. I can't sit here and talk about being fat. It's your line. Do your next bit.
Let's get a guest on.
Go on. Our guest today is Bay Garnett. She's a fashion editor, director, stylist, and much, much more. Hello, Bay.
Hi, Joe. Thanks for having me.
Is it Bay?
It's Bay. Like,
I've never met a Bay.
Do you know what? There are quite a lot of little Bays now. I know 6 Bays under the age of 15. So I go up to them and I'm like, hey, Bay. And they think I'm totally weird, but I didn't know any Bays, but there are quite a lot now. But yeah.
Well, the Bays who are under the age of 16, are they named after Knowles?
No, because they're spelt my spelling, B-A-Y.
Right.
Whereas Bay, Beyonce, and sometimes people write that to me and I'm like, oh my God, that's so cute. You think I'm calling myself that after Beyonce, which is what Bay A-E. There probably are some Bays.
Is that after Beyonce?
Yeah, because that's her name.
No, it's not. It's Beyonce.
Yeah, but like, you know, it's also
Bay.
Beyonce.
Yeah.
Is it making sense now?
Yeah. Yeah.
Literally no sense whatsoever. What is fashion? What is...
It's a really good question, Joe. I think it depends who you ask. If you were to ask the fashion director of a fashion magazine, they might say it is the reflection of the times. They might say it's the trends that people are wearing, which is, you know, the reflection of the times. And then you talk about things being in fashion. It could be, you know, homewares. It could be the T-shirt you're wearing now, like T-shirts with Paris written on them are in fashion. How wide do you want to cast a net?
And who
do
you want to ask?
Is it?
Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah, that's kind of like a trend.
I'm quite nervous now. I'm fashionable.
You just threw it on this morning, didn't you?
I did, yeah. I actually put some effort into what I wear, Tom, believe it or not.
Okay. The shorts as well?
Shorts is less effort, more practical.
Just to air to gas it.
That's always my thing. But then I like my... Fuck off. I'm going back to...
I can't believe how big your biceps are.
Oh, there we go.
I would so much rather talk about Germans.
Yeah, no.
Like,
they are good biceps.
They are amazing. But do you pump iron to get those, or is that pure rugby?
I pump iron, baby. Yeah.
Are you blushing a little bit?
I'm trying to fucking read a line, and you know how bad I am at reading. Fashion.
Yeah.
A popular... Or the latest style of clothing, hair, decoration, or behaviour?
Yeah, I answered it in a much more long-winded, convoluted way. But
I
that's
prefer
the
your
bit,
one.
Right?
But I also prefer this one. Fashion is a form of self-expression and autonomy at a particular period and place and in specific context of clothing, footwear, lifestyle, accessories, makeup, hairstyle, body posture. The term implies a look defined by the fashion industry as that which is trending. So it's fucking loads of shit.
It's fucking loads of shit. And also, I don't follow trends. And actually, most people you speak to in fashion go, I don't follow trends. And that's why secondhand is great, because you're basically going off grid from what the trends are, right? You're finding your own way through it. I love the independence of charity shops and secondhand, because I've never been into trends. Like, why do I want to wear what everyone else is wearing? And, you know, I think it's a big marketing tool as well for people to make money. You know, like a big brand says, this is, you know, and then you go and buy loads of their bags because they say it's in fashion. I like the idea of creating your own. It's about style over fashion, actually. And the first definition of that, what you just said, is more about style. But then when it goes into trends and all of that, that's more fashion to me. Style is the freedom.
What are the must-have trends at this particular point, babe? Because just in case Joe isn't happy with his very modish and stylish black t-shirt.
Modish?
Yeah, stylish.
What's modish?
Of the moment.
Is it a rugby t-shirt? Is it?
Is Paris Saint-Germain.
Okay. Oh, that's football.
Yeah, Paris Saint-Germain.
It's great. It's a really cool t-shirt. I really like it.
Thanks.
What's trend at the moment? Neon?
Ooh. Like neon lights?
Like neon, like leather goods, like neon bags or like neon sandals.
What, that light up?
Like bright, no. They're just like super bright.
Like rave colours?
Yes.
Oh.
Like rave, exactly, like rave colours. So
I'd prefer it if they had a little switch on it.
That'd be good, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
They probably do that, yeah, though. Well, there you go, guys. You go. Look, time to make your millions.
Setting a trend.
I like it, Joe.
And then what else is, to be honest with you, it's really hard to keep up with trends. Mini skirts are back, apparently. So this summer, a lot of mini skirts we'll be seeing. And sportswear always, streetwear still in trends. Trends just kind of turn over now more. So streetwear, oversized men's jackets on women, all that stuff.
What would be good for Joe? Because you look at Joe's physique, you've been impressed already. Yeah,
no,
we all
I am impressed with Joe's physique.
The size of his biceps.
I do want to hear more about it, actually. What would be good for Joe? I mean, like
baggy clothing.
No, like a wet white t-shirt.
Avoid a what?
Ooh. A wet white t-shirt.
Shove my jugs. Oversized jumpers.
Yeah, like a big fisherman's jumper. Would
blacks,
be great.
Lot of black.
Like I'm thinking, like kind of fisherman's classic, like kind of that sandy with the weave, kind of. Like, I don't know. I'm thinking. I don't know
seaweed.
Why.
Seaweed. You want me to wear seaweed?
No, not the weave. Sorry, the weave. I meant. Oh. No, you get that blend of colour in it, like classic kind of fisherman. Like, but Joe, when it comes to you wearing like a DJ or a blazer, how do you do that? Because you are really buff. Do you just get them in a bigger size? Or how does that work? Do you get them custom made for you?
Yeah, I go get them made. There's this nice tailor in Brighton, and they've got another one in, where's that trendy place?
Milan.
Shoreditch, I think. Or maybe, no, yeah, Shoreditch, called Gresham Blake. But I don't really like wearing suits.
It's not comfy.
Well, I don't know. It's just a bit too... I liked this one that they did because it was like a Peaky Blinders. So it was more of a dress-up than it was actually. But it was a fucking nice dress-up.
That's cool, yeah.
I don't really like doing... I like dressing up. I like putting things...
Rather than sort of middle-of-the-road suit type of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That totally makes sense. I get it.
Are there different like categories of fashion that you describe? You know, like you have like in cars, you got a... sports car or
other car,
a truck or a family car, etc. Is there different categories like that?
Definitely. You've got like the high fashion, which is like Prada and Louis Vuitton and Gucci, and they do really expensive shows, and everything they put out to the world is like super expensive. So they, you know, celebrities wear their dresses on the red carpet. The stuff's beautifully made, you know, but it's like this kind of level. Their game is high, you know what I mean? And they charge high prices, right? And then you've got streetwear fashion, you know, you've got Vans is fashion, you know, you've got so many different tiers of it. The stuff that's the Gucci, the Louis Vuitton, the Prada, those ones is insanely expensive. That's the only thing, it's so expensive.
Why do they have that?
Prohibitively.
So expensive if it's only accessible to 1% of the fucking population. What's the point in it?
Do you know what I think? I think what they do is the marketing is so clever that the aim is they make the money really through the handbags, right? So let's say you've got a job, you're earning, let's say, I don't know how much a year, but, you know, if you have this bag that's been sold to you through advertising, through your favourite actress wearing that Gucci dress on the red carpet, whatever it is, you will buy that bag as an investment to identify and show that, you know, you are part of that culture. Does that make sense? So actually, all of that marketing is really for handbags and for belts and for shoes. And so that's how it works. So actually, tons of people buy it. And it's maybe the one thing they buy. And lots of rich people buy it. And they buy plenty of it.
Could you tell the difference, or could one tell the difference, Bay, between a proper original Parker Louis Vuitton handbag and a very good knockoff?
Do you know what? I probably could, because I've actually done stuff with Louis Vuitton in the past. Some fakes. Well, apparently you shouldn't buy fakes. Apparently it's a terrible kind of industry. It's quite corrupt. And it's dirty money. It goes into, like, I don't know where, so I shouldn't really say it because I can't be more kind of clear on that. But that's what I've heard. But some fakes are amazing. That thing of, like, it fell off, you know, it's from the same factory, which is always
classic
the same. Because no one wants to hear that actually it's just been made in China really well. People want to hear, no, it is the real thing, but, like, my friend got it from the factory. And sometimes they actually cannot tell the difference.
What?
But Louis Vuitton I can, and Chanel. Chanel you can, because the E for Chanel inside the bag is a little bit longer on real ones.
Ah.
So that's how they do it. It's a tiny bit longer. It's really hard to see, but you can see it, so... Heads up anyone who's, you know, wanting to buy a Chanel bag and wants to authenticate it.
When I think of fashion, I immediately think of catwalks.
Mm.
So many questions. Why is it called a catwalk?
Because you walk like a cat. Have you ever seen Naomi Campbell walk on the catwalk?
Mm.
I mean, man, that is an incredible walk of grace. And, you know, you're showing...
Yeah, but when I think of cats, I think of, like, pretentious, aloof... twats.
Yeah.
So,
you're more of a dog person. I mean,
no, yeah, my heart was broken. I had a cat when I was little. Her name was Blossom. She died, and, you know.
Are you more of a dog person now, would you say?
I was, until my dog then died, and now we've got dogs, and I've found it really hard to connect with them. So I don't know what I am anymore, because I'm not a cat person, I'm not a dog person, and I'm not actually a people person. I'm a food person.
And a rugby person.
Again, that's...
Take it
or leave it.
Okay.
So it's called a catwalk, originally because you're meant to walk like a cat, okay?
Yeah, and also because loads of things get given, like, a terminology and then it just sticks. Do you know what I mean? It's, I don't think it's a literal sort of, like...
So not the, like the first catwalk, like the models going down it weren't going...
Maybe, but I think it's to do with this, you know, walking, you know, you look at Claudia Schiffer or Carla Bruni, those kind of, like, supermodels, and even as far back as catwalks have been, which is, I guess, 1950s, late 1940s, you know, with the Dior new look, you know, the women all walked really beautifully because, of course, you know, they were selling clothes, right? So it's to do with a kind of form of elegance.
Is it still about selling clothes, or is it... I see fashion shows and catwalks, and I see some of the most outrageous and ludicrous outfits you could imagine. That fucking things sticking out everywhere, the giant domes over the head, these massive things. And then I never see that. I go out in Brighton, I go shopping down the lanes, and I'm like, hang on, you don't see that dress in the shop window. So what's the point? Is it transferring to actually sell clothes, or what's the point in it?
What it is that oftentimes on the runway, you'll see in a more elaborate, kind of creative dream version. And then that gets commercialised, or it gets kind of watered down or changed, or, you know, made into a commercial version. So that's what happens on the runway. They do it. It's for press. So if you have an amazing kind of showstopper, then you'll get press for it, which is good for your brand. And sometimes you do find, but, you know, the same thing in the shop. But you're right, most of the time, runway is to show how creative, how genius you are, whatever it is you want to show, that's your platform.
Is there, like, a set size? So if you're designing your clothes, would someone design them for just a generic, like, size 8 or a size 6? Or do they design them, because they've got to fit perfectly, haven't they, to be shown off? Are they designing for someone specific?
I think that's a really good question. And I think that's changing now. For so long, it was like size 6 sample size and tiny. Like, the clothes are so small. And and for the runway, largely they are, on the whole, they are small, and the models are really thin, really thin. But that is changing. And it's way more diverse now than it was. Way more diverse. And that's brilliant, because for so long, it was like, why is everyone putting forward a version of women that doesn't actually really exist? It's crazy. And now, in the last, I would say, you know, a series of things has made that happen again. It's going back to the fashion of the times, or call it what you will, current affairs. But, you know, inclusiveness and all of those things has really changed that balance in the fashion world of, like, you know, there has to be more representation. And that's, you know, black women, black men, people being... bigger sizes, or not as tall, or, you know, which is so great. And I look back on how it was. I mean, it was insanely, if you weren't, like, size 6 and, you know, 5'9" and insanely beautiful, you had no place.
So there's definitely changes that have, been made and moving forward in a better direction than...
That fashion bubble, as it was, has kind of changed.
Joe, which item of clothing in your life have you spent the most money on?
Oh, single item I've spent the most... Well, a suit, I guess, doesn't count. Okay, yeah, suit. That suit was expensive. What have I...
I like your corduroy waistcoat. It's cool.
Yeah, thanks. I really like a gilet.
So does my husband.
I love a gilet. I love it. I've got several gilets.
Tell him that. He loves you and he loves gilets.
Yeah.
He's going to love that.
We should get together. What's the most of it? I've got an obsession with T-shirts. Daisy's, my wife's had to like interject a couple of times where she's like, I've counted your T-shirts. You've got over 80 T-shirts.
And
you wear and you wear four of them. Like... Yeah, no, but I want to have the option. I want to have the option. I spend it on many T-shirts, but not like one. I wouldn't ever go. I remember talking to a young academy boy who's like from a wealthy background, and he'd been shopping in Kingston. He's like, "Mate, check out this shirt," and I was like, "Right." And he pulled out this shirt, and it was like a crisp, plain white school shirt, a big collar and big cuffs, and I went, "That just looks like a school shirt, mate. What the fuck is that?" He's like, "Mate, it is not just any shirt. It is Vivian Westwood." And I went, "I don't know who that is. It just looks like a plain white shirt. How much have you paid for that?" "This was £175, bruv." And I was like, "It's a plain... I could have gone down the fucking charity shop and got you one for a fiver or less than that. But, you know, it's put Vivian Westwood on it and it's worth God knows how much."
And you know what? He got a lot more pleasure buying a Vivian Westwood shirt than he did going down to the charity shop and getting a white shirt from Cancer Care.
Thanks.
You know, there is that as well, right? It part of that thing of like, yeah, I'm worth it. You know what I mean? I'm going to treat myself. There's a lot of that going on.
What about you, Tom? Do you know a single item that you've ever spent the most money on?
Yeah, I do. And... it was sufficiently expensive, Joe, that...
I have to have the number.
I can't tell you the number because it makes me feel a bit sick.
Oh,
you
no.
You have to, come on.
Oh, no. Right.
Let me give you the backstory then.
Yeah.
So I made the mistake of trying on a coat that I saw and then found out how much it was. But it was one of those coats, it was almost like a magic coat.
What was it like?
Well, it's actually hanging outside as we speak.
No, it's not.
But this
it better be fucking good.
This is where I get defensive because it was so extraordinarily expensive that it was impossible for me to consider buying it. But then I looked into how much it was back here, and
say it was cheaper.
Yeah,
it was cheaper, but still, I can't justify the expense of that coat.
Who's it made by? Is it like a designer brand?
It's a little bit, but it's like an offshoot of what are they called? I'll go and get it in a minute.
Yeah, how much was it?
Right, so this is
he's worried because I think his other half might listen to this and he hasn't told her the truth.
Right, hang on. Right. I'm going to write it down.
I'm looking at Bae's face and Bae's gone with the face. Is that it?
Yeah, basically.
It is, right. Isn't it?
But yeah, I felt really ashamed because.
But that's
pretty good for it. That's fine for a coat that you love.
Are you fucking shitting me?
Yeah, okay. I didn't say that. I sound like a right. I think for an overcoat that's going to last you a lifetime as a one-off thing, it's not crazy. It's expensive. But it's not like, oh my God.
Yeah, I'd agree.
I'm right. It's a coat.
If it's a long term, I do actually agree.
It's a lot of money.
I've never spent that on any item of clothing.
It's less than £1,000, listeners.
Do you know what we should do? Yeah. We'll have an advert break here.
Yeah.
And then during the advert, I'm going to go and put on this coat. And then we can start again. I will step out from behind the curtain that goes across the glass doors in this studio. And you two can just give me a live reaction to the coat. Just say, "You were mugged off, mate," or "That is
okay."
Have you ever felt like escaping to your own desert island? Jane Gaskin did exactly that, trading in the family home to begin a new life in the tropics. But she soon discovers that paradise has its secrets. I'm Alice Levine, and this is The Price of Paradise, the island dream that ends in kidnap, corruption, and murder. Wish you were here? Follow The Price of Paradise now, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Right, Tom's gone and got his jacket on. I'm going to go with Bay's first impressions. Go, Bay.
Oh, no! It fits you. It fits you really well. It fits you so well.
I thought
it was going to be wool. I don't know why, and I thought it was going to be long. But it looks... I really like the detail here, and I can see that you wear it all the time. Turn around.
Because it's worn.
I think it looks great on you. I thought it was going to be...
Better.
No, that's the wrong word. I thought it was going to be... I like how kind of, in a way, it's kind of on the DL. It's quite on the down. Like you don't really notice it. And that's kind of stylish in itself. Mm. I thought it was going to be more like, da-da-da-da, here I am. But I like that it's not. Over to you, Joe.
It rustles.
It's got a waterproof element to it.
Yeah, you've basically bought a waterproof. And I'm almost certain that I could get one exactly the same for 40 quid in Millets. You're looking at me like, you fucking prick.
I really,
you're just saying that to show off in front of you. And I'm like, a little bit. I think it's a nice jacket.
It does look good on you.
I will agree. It suits you.
It's good.
What pose is that, though?
Yeah, I know.
That's no catwalk pose, mate. That's the...
It does look great.
Right, take that off, then. Well. Come sit down, please. Let's get back to... keep it on. That fucking star jumper is awful.
Yeah.
How do you feel about being judged like that about what you're clothing? Because that you obviously love that jacket and other people have opinions on that jacket. How does that make you feel?
That's a very good point, Joe, because I think, Bay, that fundamentally you dress for yourself, don't you?
I think so.
But it's nice sometimes to have a little bit of external validation. But the external validation wouldn't work unless you liked it.
I totally agree. And also, it is lovely when someone says, oh, I love that. It's really nice. But if they don't say it, that's okay too. Yeah. I mean, I also think it's really important. You know, some people say to me, oh, God, sometimes I feel like I don't know what to wear. Or like people talking about secondhand. Oh, I feel self-conscious. And I always think it is that thing, Joe, that you said right at the beginning. I think it was you. But the idea of like... to think of clothes as going into the dressing up box, of not feeling judged, you know, just wearing what makes you feel good. And I think that's just so important.
I think that's easy for us. We're all various ages, but we are fully grown in whatever age we are.
Yeah.
It's easier for us to sit and say that because we've kind of gone through a lot of stuff to then go, well, I'm comfortable in my own skin
that's
now.
That's true.
And this is who I am. But for kids, especially this day and age, they want constant validation from their friends and outsiders to go, oh, he looks cool. You look great. Do you know what I mean? And it tends to go, well, what is cool? What is cool is what's liked the most at the time. So it takes ages for kids to go up and down through different things, finding stuff out. We're fine being comfortable, but kids are more comfortable going following the crowd, aren't they? And it's really hard for... I want all of my kids to feel comfortable with whatever they want to wear. And we encourage them, we go, fucking wear whatever you want. If you want to wear your tutu out today, whatever. Felix, our second youngest.
How many have you got?
I've got four. Our second youngest.
How old are they?
A baby, 2, 6, and 8.
Wow. That's a good one.
He insists on wearing socks on his hands, out.
Just loves it.
And he'll run around and he's got long hair as well. So everyone goes, oh, she's lovely. And we're like, fuck you.
See, I think that's gorgeous. I think it is that thing of being completely unselfconscious. Like my son wore a Superman and it was coming away. It was coming apart of the seams. But he wore a Superman outfit for 6 years, like with a cape out in the street. Your son wears socks on his hands. And I think that it's so kind of joyful and brilliant, that kind of totally unselfconsciousness that kids have. And then you're right, you go into the teens and you get social media and you get like, what's everyone wearing? Oh, it's Juicy Couture. And then it's like Franz. And then it's all these different brands and it's pretty full on. And then you sort of forget, like you lose your own style mojo, don't you, when there's so much information coming. And so, yeah, I think that's a really good point. I think it'd be great if there was less fashion and kind of stuff information being hurled at them a lot, yeah.
What's the most ridiculous outfit Now, ridiculous is clearly subjective, but I think of the Lady Gaga meat dress that she wore, and I go,
fuck.
Fuck, that's out there, isn't it?
Did it make you hungry?
It did, actually. I was actually interested in, like, oh, where's the ribeye in that, then? is there a designer out there who is literally renowned for just ridiculousness? They'll just do completely out there. They'll dress their models up as the fucking Eiffel Tower and walk them down the runway. Or, oh, here's Steve. He's dressed as a glass.
Yeah, you have got that, like Terry Moogler, who died recently, and he was kind of an amazing couturier. He did amazing cuts.
What's couture?
Couture is basically, so very few fashion houses have couture shows like Chanel does. And what it means is, like, very rich people go to the show, or they get sent the lookbook, and then they say they get the clothes made for them. So it's very, very expensive and rarefied, basically. So Chanel does it. I think Valentino, there's only a handful of houses that still do it. Christian Dior do it. Chanel, Valentino, and maybe one or two more. I mean, it's insanely expensive.
How much are we looking at if Joe wanted to get himself a little cheeky top?
A little cheeky Chanel suit, couture made. So it's couture. So also, it's not just like getting a suit made. It's like incredible embellishment and fabrics. It's like hand-sewn crystals that takes like 80 hours, or you know what I mean? It's like another level.
Yeah.
I don't know, like, and I'm going to be wrong, but I would say tens and tens of thousands of pounds, probably.
I'm all right, thanks.
Well, you're all right. Yeah.
No, I'll just stick to my Gilet Urban Outfitters.
Yeah. Oh, I know who I love. And I actually went up to him at a party and I said, listen, I just think you're bloody brilliant. It's Jean-Paul Gaultier. And he did a lot of Madonna's Blonde Ambition tour with the cones. Yeah, all of that. He plays all those style tribes and he puts them on the runways and he makes fashion. He's sort of genius, but he also gives it a real, like, irreverence and fun. He's cool. Jean-Paul Gaultier.
He wasn't the one that was responsible for Madonna's cape not undoing in time, was he?
No. Oh, I love your fashion knowledge. Yeah, you've got it all found up. I don't know.
Oh.
I don't know.
But let's hope he wasn't.
I don't know who Janet Jackson, the boob thing, was.
Yeah, wardrobe malfunction.
Yeah, do you remember that?
What about Judy from Richard and Judy? Do we know who, when her boobs fell out? Do you remember them ones?
I don't remember.
Do you not remember that? Do you remember that? It was an award show, wasn't it? Yeah. Or something. And
no
way. She's just there, like, and the winner is...
I do.
And Richard's
that.
Like...
It was like 15 years
yeah,
ago.
Yeah, fucking like, great.
Yes.
Yeah.
Babe, what would you say is the single greatest era for fashion? Are we talking sort of that post-war thing where suddenly there's a bit of money and there's a bit of fabric? Or are we talking about the height of the psychedelic 60s, or...
I mean, it's really like which decade you love. You've got the 1930s, which was incredibly stylish. You've got all that silk cut on the bias.
Is the 30s stylish, like burlesque style?
Yeah, burlesque, but also that kind of, all that lame, like... Think about the Hollywood movie stars of the 40s, all that fur and like Joan Crawford, and it was incredibly stylish. I mean, every decade, then you've got the 50s where Dior came in, you have the whole new look with the incredible tailoring, you know, the dresses and the nipped in waist. And then you've got the 60s, need I say more, you know, like all of that Mary Quant, the mini, and the 70s, my personal favourite. You've got the Rolling Stones, you've got like where women started to wear men's jackets, so that mannish look on women that I loved, and like high jeans and, you know, sneakers. And I love the 70s. And again, and then obviously you've got the 80s, which for me was probably less keen on that. But, you know...
The 80s was a bit shit, mate. I wasn't even born,
shit.
But right. Looking back on it, it wasn't great.
You don't want to wear 80s stuff, right?
But 80s
but I'll wear
not great.
70s, I'll wear 60s. But the other thing is that if you look back, retrospect, and then 90s is massive for the kids now, and the noughties. So all that naughty stuff, like Friends, Jennifer Aniston, they're all doing that, the kind of like the hide, the baggy jeans with the
I love the popper trousers from the 90s.
And the popper trousers.
Oh, fuck it. I've got a pair. I've got two pairs. I've got a white pair and a black pair at home. I had to get it from a vintage online shop, though, and it cost me an arm and a fucking leg, because as soon as you put vintage on anything, it fucking sends it up. I'm like, oh, cheers. I need an honest opinion from a fashion expert or fashionista like yourself. See, I love tracksuits. I love them. And I've got this tradition that every home game I play for my club, we're sponsored by Adidas, and I wear an Adidas tracksuit of some form or another. It's just the... This was my latest one, and I just want your honest opinion, what you think.
Describe for the listeners, babe, what we're seeing.
Oh, my God. It's very arresting. I think you look absolutely bloody brilliant. It's basically...
Very arresting?
Well, it's very bright. It's foam box, fireman's red.
Yeah.
And you're in it. Okay. And basically,
thanks, yeah.
It's all red. So the tracksuits are red. The hoodie's red. Oh my God, you've got a red cap on as well.
Yeah. Faux,
and you've
faux,
got a
faux.
Red shiny puffer on. So I cannot convey. I think you look insanely bloody cool. And I think you've been playing down your fashion, like bloody sixth sense, call it. Look,
I'm so happy with that. I'm wearing that out. And I said that to my wife, and she said, "You're fucking not." mainly because a lot of people thought I looked like, you know, that, what's that thing you get in an airing cupboard?
Immersion thing.
And it's wrapped in
cladding. Yeah, the jacket is a bit cladding. Yeah.
But in a
good way.
Immersion wrapped.
Right. Oh, my God, that's so funny. Oh, my God, that is the puffer.
That's going on our social media.
That's really funny. That's
got to
go.
Why is Joe dressed up as a fucking insulated hot water tank? Fuck's sake. It's really not the fact. But it's subjective, isn't it?
So you look great.
You know, everyone's different with it.
I like how you're going for it. That's what I like.
Right, we're going to take a short break, and I'm going to come back with some questions about fashion.
This episode is sponsored by the following magnificent people.
Nibble Nibble Stuart Kibble.
The Swindler Josh Swindles.
Rollerball Becky Dyson.
Rupert the Bear Ellingham.
All's Fairs in Love and War, it's Matthew Fairs.
Eric the Windy Rhino. Like Driftwood, it's Jack Travis.
Half Pint Julie Lowry.
Robert Hands of Stone Giroux.
The Bounty Hunter.
Alistair Boundy, and Greg the Eagle Edwards. To be more like all of them, go to patreon.com/Joe Marler Show, become an official sponsor, and grow the show today.
So, babe, we are today in a studio in central London. Transport us, if you will, to Paris Fashion Week.
I don't know about you guys, but I love Paris.
I love Paris.
You love Paris. Who doesn't love Paris, right?
What's not to love?
Oh, it's going to the Louvre and the sun. Oh, I just love it. So Paris Fashion Week is actually, without wanting to sound really cheesy, I've always felt very lucky because you get to go to Paris and you go to these shows and some of them are so beautiful, you know, and like the Louis Vuitton. I've been to the ones Louis Vuitton where Marc Jacobs, the creative director, and it would just be some of them like going to the most incredible piece of theatre. They set up this huge, I don't know if you'd even call it a tent, like the most fancy tent in the middle of the courtyard of the Louvre. Oh. And then you'd go in and like they'd have built a fountain in the middle of this tent, but like a beautiful fountain. And you'd all sit around and these lights and then these women coming out with these incredible clothes. And no matter what you think about it, you can't help but feel that's a privilege to see that kind of beauty and creativity, really, in this beautiful city. So you asked me about Paris fashion. It's amazing. Yeah.
Is that the best one? New York? What's Milan like? Which one like?
I like Paris the best because I love Paris. New York isn't really as kind of, doesn't have that many shows. It's slightly lost its lustre, New York Fashion Week, I would say. And then Milan is a big one because it's got, you know, the biggies like Versace and Prada. And, you know, it's a fun one. You know, London is known for its kind of creativity and eclecticism. So the different fashion weeks in the different places sort of represent really the fashion of those places and stuff.
Is there a pecking order for the seating? So let's say somehow Joe and I've got tickets for one of the big shows. I'm guessing it's not first come, first serve. We can't just pile down the front.
No, you will get led to your seat. And, you know, on the front row is typically, it depends what show it is. Like if it's Louis Vuitton, there'll be loads of celebrities on the front row. So there's loads of paps, you know, with flashes. It's full on. It's probably like being, I suppose, on a red carpet. But yeah, you can't just sit anywhere. It's very strict. Like people sit where they're told to sit, for sure. There's a hierarchy and it definitely adheres to that hierarchy.
Do Giacomo do any runway shows?
Giacomo?
Giacomo's the big brand.
Brilliant. That's how fucking, yeah, well, that's how fucking shit my question is.
I don't know.
Giacomo. Who the fuck's Giacomo? Yeah. Giacomo is a brand of clothing for the big, what's their slogan for big and tall? High and mighty.
That's a different brand, isn't it? High and mighty.
Oh.
I think it's for the larger gentleman.
You know what? Not. I haven't seen them at Paris Fashion Week or London Fashion Week. I haven't actually seen them. But that's not to say that they, you know, we can look into that. But not as far as I'm aware, they don't.
What would you say, Bae, to help me and Joe and our listeners out, of the high street fashion brands, which is considered the most cutting edge? Like, are they all much of a muchness?
Or? Well, my first thing, I have to say this because I believe it, is go to your local charity shop and get brilliant men's shirts. I get all my men's, get any shirt from the men's rail, so nice oversized shirts, and get great menswear. So I would always say that. And then, you know, I mean, Zara does really good clothes. Do you know what I mean? They really do. I mean, I personally, you know, I'm more of a secondhand person, but I would always say spend more on something that's been produced in a way where it's going to last more and it's not fast fashion, because it's worth it in the end. So
you're not recommending Primark?
I'm not recommending Primark.
Because, well, you know, it needs must, or if that's your go-to, of course, Primark is Primark. But if you're looking for quality and longer lasting, yeah, Primark stuff isn't going to be the one.
No, and that's not to say that some things from Primark, I'm like, someone says they're from Primark, I'm like, that's bloody brilliant.
Yeah.
I mean, these people are really clever. Do you know what I mean? But I think what people, and I know that people say, well, you know, that's fine if you've got some money. But I think you have to look at, if you're buying something, a pair of jeans for £4, you have to sort of think, why, that's not right. That's really cheap. So that means, you know, there's exploitation happening probably from the people who are making it, and the way that it comes at a price. Fast fashion comes at a price. And I think that, you know, people just need to know that. And so I'm saying there is an alternative. You know, secondhand shops are a really good alternative to, I know it takes a bit longer, or, you know, you can, Oxfam online is brilliant. You can find stuff online. And I do understand it needs to work for people, and people have busy lives, you know, so I'm not going to judge. I'm not here to judge. I just think that it's worth everyone just being mindful of that. I try and be.
Daisy will love this.
Why, does Daisy say the same thing?
Well, she just loves, I said, what are you doing today? I'm going to charity shops.
Love Daisy.
Every fucking time.
Love Daisy.
Like, you want to come? I'm not even, I've stopped asking you. You're not going to, because it's not that I don't like going to charity shops. I don't particularly like going to shops full stop. I just go online just because of the ease of it.
eBay's great as well.
But she loves the charity shops.
But I'm like her. I mean, and I love it because probably for the same reasons that she loves it. I've always loved not buying new as well. I like kind of going off grid, and I was doing it years ago. And I think, and my first shoot actually for Vogue was Kate Moss. Wearing all these
the actual Kate Moss
was wearing, yeah,
you've worked, like, with the Kate Moss.
I've worked with Kate Moss.
Well, without I couldn't possibly let you go without asking what Kate Moss is like.
Kate Moss is great.
Is she?
Yeah, she's great.
Yeah,
she's great. She's really, like, her, she's fun and cool and warm
to touch.
I don't know that we really touched that before. She's just a really, you know, she's a, she's, you know, she's great.
I think that's cool. You've worked with Kate Moss.
You know, but so I did this shoot with secondhand clothes from charity shops, and Kate wore them and everything. And I think that was a really long time ago. And I guess then I was really into buying stuff because I love not buying into the new system of the trends. I was like, I'll just find my own stuff. And now I guess it's more for, like, I like the style reasons, but I also think it's important. I like buying stuff secondhand because it hasn't been produced new.
Bae, have you ever heard of someone called Abdul Faisali? Abdul Faisali.
Not with a V. It's a surname.
F-A-I-S-A-L-Y.
No.
She's a Malaysian designer who designed the world's most expensive dress called the Nightingale of Kuala Lumpur.
Kuala Lumpur. Okay, he did. Oh no, that's so funny. How much was the dress?
That's how you spell Kuala Lumpur.
Yes.
World's most expensive dress is called the Nightingale of Kuala Lumpur by Malaysian designer Abdul Faisali. It's the red chiffon dress, and it is worth... Tom, can you guess? I'll give you some background.
Okay.
The gown is covered with 751 diamonds and Swarovski crystals weighing over 1,000 carats and includes a 70-carat teardrop diamond. How much is this dress worth?
Can we see a picture of it?
Yes, yes.
Does it have the number on it? Do I need to guess before we see the picture? Or?
No.
Right. So, £1 million.
£1,001,000. Who's nearer?
You.
No, 500,000.
There's diamonds, though.
Oh, yeah, I know. Okay.
You are both way off.
£3 million.
Way off.
$7 million.
$30 million.
What?
$30 million.
Okay, so who bought that?
Well, if you get that in a second-hand shop,
that'd be kind of embarrassing if you bought that dress. I'm not surprised it's not.
I remember doing a boot sale, and there was these pair of jeans. They were like, I can't remember that. They were like a really posh pair of jeans. They might have been Armani jeans. And it was the friend of mine's ex-boyfriend now. Jeans they were. And he'd gone off for a coffee. And so I was, and we were just selling these. And someone came up and said, how much for these? And I went, £2. £2, sold them. It's a car boot. We can get rid of everything, do you know what I mean? And sold them. And he's come back from his coffee and he's like, oh, my jeans get sold then.
And we my God.
I was like, yeah. He was like, oh, well, where's the money then? And I went, there you go. Gave him £2. He went, what? Where's the rest? I mean, what do you mean, where's the rest? He went, they were £150 Armani jeans. And I went, oh, sorry about that. I'm sure they're still walking around with it. You're going to have to find it. And just, nah, not happening. Just take your £2, swallow your pride, mate.
I suggest he could have sold them somewhere else. Like the fact he's decided to sell them at a car boot sale.
Have you ever done a car boot, Tom?
I haven't. I'd love to do a car boot, so it's a good way of getting rid
but
of
it. Have you done a car boot? You love charity shops, so
yeah,
surely.
Yeah, I have. Yeah, I love a car booter.
Fucking love car boots. What do you call the car boot that you don't go to it, you do it in your house?
Yard sale.
A yard sale. So you guys will have to come down. There's plenty of clothes. Sussex. Bit far away
east
from...
East or west?
East.
Yeah, Camber Sands, near there.
Rye.
Rye, yeah.
Yeah, don't know it.
No,
nowhere near there. Heathfield.
Yeah.
No, you haven't, you're fucking lying.
No, I don't know, I've heard of it.
Well, it'll be your loss, because there'll be loads of items of clothes.
Well, I want to see Daisy's charity shop clothes.
Fuck, there'll be loads, actually. Yeah. No, there will
that's
be loads.
My street.
Bay, it has been absolutely wonderful. Oh. You have just exuded. What's the word?
Exuded.
What does that mean?
Given out.
You've just exuded energy and happiness, and I've loved
so
having
sweet.
You in this
that's
room.
Lovely. I've loved being
it's
here.
It's brilliant. It's been great fun.
Thank you so much for having me.
Joe, can I just say something to you?
If I said no, would that mean the end of this episode?
I'll also say it anyway, I think.
So I'm going to say no,
okay.
Because I feel like saying no to you.
Okay.
But you're going to say it anyway.
Listen, if you want to say no, that's empowering.
I've said
you.
No.
If you really want to stick with no, then I will back you.
I've said no on the basis that you're going to say it anyway, so no, yes.
You've got lovely biceps, Joe.
Ah!
You're still blushing a little bit. That was nice.
Blushing.
You have got nice biceps.
I have. It's one of my, in fact... It's my only feature.
I wouldn't say it's the only feature, but...
Oh, yes, I should have said my only good feature, shouldn't I? Okay, fine. She was great.
Yeah.
Fucking hell, what tons of energy she had.
Amazing energy.
She and without, what's the word, stereotyping too hard, but you kind of then go... You kind of expect her to be in a creative-type role if she's just got... All of these different ideas going around everywhere. She was fucking great fun. I loved it. I even loved it more when her reaction to your really expensive jacket. She was like, that's not expensive.
Yeah.
So what the fuck has she spent on an item?
Okay. Yeah.
We should have asked that. Fucking get her back.
Text her.
And B, if they picked it up on the mic, the bit where she goes, huh? It's, what do you think, babe?
Ha ha ha.
I loved it. But as we, you know, came to a conclusion in the end, fashion is subjective. You wear what you feel comfortable in and what you love to do. And I'm glad you do feel comfortable in your own skin, mate.
Thank you. And I will carry on wearing that coat just a lot less than I did before today. If you enjoyed that show as much as we did and you'd like to support the show, you can now subscribe. Three ways, Joe. Number one, Apple. Number two, Spotify. Number three, Patreon. Search for, it's not a surprise this, Joe, Joe Marler Show. For just a single pound a week, you can get bonus content, ad-free episodes, and you'll be growing the show at the same time.
Also, if you want to get some merchandise, we can provide that for you at joemarler.co.uk/shop. And you can order what we got on there. We've got t-shirts, we've got mugs. We got any of those prints left?
I think there's a couple left.
There might be a couple of signed prints left on there. Just keep your eyes peeled, because I might start putting out some of my adult colouring pages on there.
Hello.
Very unique.
Fuck nuggets.
Fuck nuggets. You've got to say something else, haven't you, Tom?
Yes, Joe. Go on, then. I've got to tell people about another podcast they might enjoy. This is Death of a Rockstar. Some of them voiced by our friend, Elroy Spoonface.
Elroy!
What's a man? These are the immersive stories of the musicians, the rock stars who we loved but lost too soon, including, Joe, because I've been writing these across the winter, Jim Morrison, Dennis Wilson, Janis Joplin, Kurt Cobain. Simply search for Death of a Rockstar in your podcast app.
Is Jim Morrison dead?
For a very, very long time.
Ah, I'm thinking of Van Morrissey.
No, you're thinking of Van Morrison.
Or Van Morrison.
Both Morrissey and Van Morrison are still, at the point we're recording this, are still with us.
Who's Van Morrissey?
He's a portmanteau of two very different characters that you've just made up.
Okay, who's on next? Have we got Van Morrissey on next episode?
Unless Van Morrissey is a car salesman, Joe, then no.
Oh, goodbye.
Crowd Network. A place where you belong.
Sports Social Podcast Network.